Breakthrough and surprising are among the words being used today in reaction to last night's announcement that the U.S. and China have reached an agreement on cutting greenhouse gases. Together, the two countries account for about 45% of all greenhouse gases, the kind scientists say are driving global climate change. The agreement contains a historic first, the first time ever that China has agreed to cap its emissions. And environmentalists say the deal may energize upcoming climate change talks and put pressure on other nations to take stronger steps of their own. In the U.S., Republican leaders are criticizing the agreement. They call it unrealistic and say it will cost jobs and result in higher utility rates. Jake Schmidt, the International Program Director for the Natural Resources Defense Council, is with us from NPR in Washington. Hi, Jake.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
And Jake, you're an advocate, and your group has been pushing for more action to combat climate change. What do you think about this agreement?
Well, this is a powerful signal from the two biggest emitters in the world. China is going to commit for the first time to peak its carbon pollution, and the U.S. is going to signal that it's going to double down on its investments in clean energy and continue to drive carbon pollution. So we think it's a pretty big deal.
What do you consider some of the highlights of the details of what each country is agreeing to do?
Well, in China, the air pollution debate has shifted quite significantly. And so I think a couple of years ago, nobody expected that China would have its emissions peak before 2040 or sometimes even 2050 in terms of analysis that was put out there. And so I think the fact that China is signaling that it's going to do it in the next decade is a powerful signal that they're going to continue to move on a clean energy economy and that the end of sort of unfettered coal pollution is finally in sight in China.
Now, the Washington Post calls some of these goals daunting, like China's promise to draw at least 20% of its energy from renewable sources and only 80% from fossil fuels. How do these countries plan to meet these targets? What has to change?
Well, they're both aggressive but achievable. In the U.S., the president has continued to outline and implement measures under existing law to drive deep reductions in the power sector, in the transportation sector, and we expect in the oil and gas and the sort of refrigerator sectors. So, you know, part of the picture for the U.S. is to continue to invest in the things that the president has done and continue them over subsequent administrations. In the U.S. or in China, they have a major investment undergoing in terms of wind and solar and energy efficiency. So one part of the solution for them is to continue to double down on those sources of clean energy. The other part is going to be finally needing to peak its coal consumption. Given the air pollution and carbon pollution challenges, we think that that's, you know, clearly a feasible option for them. And then China is going through an economic transition. It's going to have to shift its economic structure to deal with, you know, more service industries and sort of less on the back of heavy industry like iron and steel, which is a major source of both carbon and air pollution.
The nonpartisan think tank Center for Climate and Energy Solutions had been pressing China to cap its emissions by 2025. And this agreement, as we said, sets the date 5 years later, 2030. And then most of the promised emissions reductions for both countries don't come until after 2020, so in the future. Is that reasonable in your view, or does it make environmentalists like you worry?
Well, we clearly need action now, and, you know, we don't want to wait for future generations to have to clean up this mess. And so part of the picture for each of these countries is going to be what sort of steps are they taking over the next 5 years, 2 years, 1 month to drive deep reductions in their across their economy. You know, obviously in both countries, you know, we think that both can do more, and we will continue to work on driving the deep kind of cuts in both countries. And the reality is that as countries invest in these solutions, we're confident that they'll find that it doesn't destroy their economy and that it actually makes it easier to take the next step. And so this has to, I think, be viewed in sort of both the near term, but also in the long term view of shifting politics and policy in these two countries.
If everybody meets the goals set, do you think that will make a dent in climate change and the issue in general?
I think it'll put a critical piece in the puzzle. It doesn't solve it, obviously. We have to go into the next agreement in Paris next December, where other countries are going to have to step up to the table. So the U.S. and China are major contributors to climate change, but they're obviously not the only ones. And so we need commitments from some of the other big developing countries and major developed countries. And then, you know, we're going to have to keep at this for many centuries to come. And so,
that's right,
as I said, think that it's a critical piece and a first step.
Exactly, along the start of the process. This is Jake Schmidt. He's the International Program Director for the NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council. Jake, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me on.